Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. No matter where we are in our study of Scripture, this is always true. What a friend we have in Jesus. Reading from God's Holy Word, as we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Reading there the letter that the Lord Jesus ordered John to write to the angel of the church at Sardis, stating, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's give thanks for these words that God has given to us. Also pray for those who do not have the word, do not have that blessing, pray that soon all the ends of the earth will hear and fear and turn to the Lord, and especially that the church will be called to repentance as this one was, that it might be then used of God, even as David, in repenting in Psalm 51, said, after asking for cleansing, he returned to the joy, and then he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing given. Help us also understand that though we have been given much, and thy mercies are new every morning, that we still are today in the church poor, that we are weak, often divided, and sometimes wrong, and need to be reproved, even as this church was, and called to repentance with the warning that thou, Lord Jesus, would come to them as a thief, and not know what hour that thou wouldst come to them. And as with the other churches, warning. And we pray, Father, that we might realize it in the church today, in every nation, that we need to be reproved and chastened as the church at Laodicea, even as thou didst say to them, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. And we pray, Father, that we may know the need of that today in the church and in the home. And then, Father, that the church in the home might be a witness to the rest of the nation, and that might take place in every nation. We pray it for Jew and for Gentile. We pray it, Father, especially in the nations where there is war, that peace might come through the gospel, that the message given even at the birth of Christ might be made effectual today. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we know it can come, because the gospel is thy power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we pray that many might be brought to believe it today. And again, we pray for revival in the church, that it can then preach the gospel to every creature. We pray, Father, for the spiritual needs first. We also give thanks for the blessings in nature that we have, and pray for those who do not have them as we do. We think of the many that are in hunger, the many that are homeless. We think of others suffering in other ways. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray, Father, for the needs that there is in the home, especially the troubled homes. And we pray particularly for the children in those troubled homes, that they might be taught by thy word and spirit, that they might be made to read thy word if they have it. And Father, that thou wilt speak through it to them, and again revive the church, that will be a right witness in the home and to the home, and not partly guilty with the homes. We pray, Father, for those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. We pray for the older, the lonesome. We pray for the sorrowing. We ask, Father, for the needs in the schools, in the workplace, in government, the leaders. We pray for all of these things and give thanks for what we have through Christ. Amen. As we look once more at one of the seven churches, we looked at the church at Laodicea. Before that, we looked at another church, the church at Corinth, and God's blessing there, and giving true reviving, wonderful reviving, to the church that was weak and called babes, divided, called carnal, and they did repent with a godly sorrow. We do not read of what took place with any of the seven churches afterwards, nor do we read of some other churches that were reproved. We think of the church at Galatia, that Paul had to exhort and ask, who hath bewitched you? But we do not read what the result of that letter was. But we can pray that we will have a right result from our reading and hearing this letter to the church at Sardis. We may be much like the other churches that are written to, having some of the problems that each one is described as having, sometimes nearly identical, especially the church at Laodicea, saying it was rich and in need of nothing, and was poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and I'm afraid we are much like that today. This church has a similar problem, and the Lord Jesus uses slightly different words for them when he states, writing to the angel of the church, the minister, and describing himself as the one that has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He's the one that has the angel of each one of these seven churches. And we can see that described in the first chapter as the Lord Jesus speaks to John. But here he said, of the church, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. I know thy works. I'm reminded of what James writes, faith without works is dead. They spoke of a faith, evidently. He said, thou hast a name that thou livest. They made profession, and certainly, as this was one of the seven churches in Asia, we may believe that it was a true church in the beginning. It had a true and right beginning. We know not how, we know not when, we know not who was the one that brought the message. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God's word. We know that they have to have a preacher, as Paul said in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? And also, how shall they preach except they be sent? All of that must have taken place at some time in the past. And now, in this later date, sometime about 90 AD or after Christ, about 60 years after the Lord Jesus was here on earth and went back to heaven, this church is in this sad state. And how quickly that can happen. One or two generations, and we have here the church in danger. A church that says, thou sayest that thou hast a name, that thou livest. Thou sayest it. It says, thou hast a name amongst others as well as themselves, and yet art dead. Sometimes when we speak of deadness or asleep, it is a partial way, and that is also what seemed to be taking place here. The leadership was probably dead. Probably the angel of the church was one that didn't have the Spirit. May have been the first angel, the first pastor. It may have been second, third in the 60 years. We don't know. We're not told that history. Some of the churches, we know the history, at the church at Ephesus, the church at Thessalonica. We know the beginnings, as we can read in the book of Acts, and then we read of the letters that were written to them later, describing them. The church at Ephesus, we have the beginning in Acts. We have Paul visiting them later. We have him writing to them. And then we have the letter written later by the Lord Jesus, the first letter here to the seven churches, written to the Ephesians. So we know much about them, their history along the way, but not this church at Sardis. But he said, thou art dead, and part of it evidently was possibly the leadership in it. Then he said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, this was the church at Sardis, the church at the city. Not necessarily one building or one group of people. It could be a number of people in possibly different places throughout the city, throughout the area. I think of some of the history of Holland, Europe, when it was said that the church had degenerated to the point where the preachers weren't preaching the truth. They weren't preaching the new birth. They weren't preaching on salvation. And some people met together in their homes and read sermons of ministers of the past. And in that way, there was in a certain area probably a church that had a name, a church that had a building. But the true church was probably meeting in a home reading servants, not known to others. So when we think of an area, it could be that the church that was known, described, recognized, was dead, but that there were some people in that same area that had life and wanted revival for the church, wanted awakening for others that were dead. So those could be strengthened. And as it was in Holland, Europe, it said later there was a reviving. There were students in Geneva that were converted through Mr. Haldane, who came from Scotland and taught from the Book of Romans. And then it said some of these men that were there in the university affected others, and there were then ministers that were converted, and God raised them up to lead. And then even out of that whole movement, we have the area here in our area in the United States of those that were then persecuted and came here. So it was probably a praying people in the house of people not having a minister, but reading the sermons of those of the past that did preach the truth. So we can think of different ways in which we can say, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. I think of another time in the history of Israel, the captives that were carried to Babylon. Ezekiel was there as a prophet, and God said to Ezekiel that they are a rebellious house. He said, you are among briars and thorns. That's how he gave the general description of that people that was carried captive and to whom Ezekiel was to speak. And God said, whether they hear or whether they forbear, speak. And he warned Ezekiel and said, if you don't warn them, their blood is on your hand. But at the same time, as there were those people, rebellious, described as briars, thorns, before Ezekiel, there was Daniel. There was Daniel's three friends, mild, meek, serving the Lord, daring to stand, wanting to eat nothing but what would be pleasing to God, wouldn't take of the king's dainties, wouldn't bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. So there could be the individuals in the worst of circumstance, and that can be true in the church. Sometimes you can only find a few that have spiritual hunger, spiritual conversation in a given church. And so when Christ said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God, they could have been scattered through that city. As we mentioned the history years back, then he also said to them, not finding their works perfect before God, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. Again, we don't know by whom they heard these words, whether it was Paul, Peter, James, or others, Apollos. We're not told. We don't know their past history. But we do know that they had the Word of God, and God would send it to them. God is the one that doesn't stand helplessly by. He's the one that plans. He's the one that sends. He's the one that opens the heart. He's the one that saves. And we may believe that they had there in the beginning the same message that Paul would bring. And as he would say to the Ephesians, it was true of others as well, I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Let me just read a little bit of what Paul said to Titus. That would be true for Paul wherever he went, to whatever church he went, and to be true for Titus as well, who was one of Paul's fellow helpers. He said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. That was Paul's instruction for Titus and those that had believed might be careful to maintain good works. That's what evidently this church had heard as well. And now the Lord Jesus is saying to them through the pen of John, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. Remember. But one thing we have to know, that if we are to remember, we must have heard the right thing. We may believe it was true for this church, but if it would have been another 20 or 30 years, there might have been a generation that did not hear. Or, sadly, there might even be churches that do not have the right beginning, the right doctrine. We have many different kinds of doctrine. We call it sometimes the doctrines of grace, call it the doctrines of free will. Two vast differences. If a church starts on free will, it starts on what they did. If we start on the doctrines of grace, and sometimes called sovereign grace, then it's what God did. And the latter is the right way, as Paul would say to these churches, that not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And every true church had a beginning in that way. If not, then it could be like the shallow ground of the parable of the sower, spring up immediately but have no root, if it's only of self. So we know that Christ is saying right to this church, one of the seven churches, a church that he recognized as having a right beginning, and now telling the people there, remember how thou hast received and heard and hold fast. I think of Jeremiah, and God told him to go back to the old paths, go back to what was there before. In the time of Jeremiah, they had strayed. There was many false prophets. The leadership in the church was not doing God's will. Jeremiah was told to stand on the gate of the temple and say, you say, the temple of the Lord is this. The temple of the Lord is this. He said, but this is no longer the temple of the Lord. God's spirit had departed. God was not leading the priest, the scribes, the teachers. And Jeremiah was one of the few, a few along with him, that had God's word and kept on calling the people to repentance. And that's what is here. Go back. Remember what you have received and heard and hold fast. And what a blessing it is if we've had that, if we have been brought up under the truth. Many aren't. Luther wasn't. He had to leave the lie. He had to write 95 theses against what he had been taught. Others the same way. They were not taught the truth. They had to later learn the truth. And if you have been one that has been taught the truth from your childhood, from your youth, thank God for it. And if you turn away from it, do what God says here. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. We are told that many young people are leaving the church. Some may be leaving a false church. Some may be leaving a true church. But if you have had a true church, what a responsibility you have. What a guilt will be yours if you don't remember what you have received and heard, what you have been told to do. That's basically what it means here when it says, therefore how thou hast received. Received from God his good word, his call to repentance, his call to faith, his call to salvation, his call to himself through Christ. That's what God does when he builds a true church. He reminded others of that through Paul. Paul could say how he had been there for the church at Ephesus for the length of time. And he says, how I kept back nothing from you. You had brought the message of repentance and faith. Repentance toward God, faith toward Christ. And the last time he visited them, he reminded them of that. But they still, as Christ said, left that first love, left the place that God's Word brought them to in the beginning. And many others, the Galatians, where's the blessedness you knew? Paul had a right to them. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you to another gospel, he said, which is not another. And whether or not that was taking place here, whether they still had the truth but just didn't obey it, we cannot be certain. But the Lord Jesus said, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for have not found thy works perfect before God. Sometimes the biggest problem is that the truth is still there, but it's not obeyed. Other times that the truth is gone as well. That was the problem before the Great Awakening. There was error in doctrine, and there was disobedience amongst the young and the old. The young were very careless. The old had much conflict among themselves, strife and fighting, and the error was moved in to such an extent that the people who believed the truth were alarmed. They thought the Spirit had withdrawn. The Spirit of truth was gone. But thankfully, they went back to both the truth, and then the young people, being much very disobedient, one of the worst of them was the first one saved. God giving blessing. They did go back. Jonathan Edwards himself was watchful, and he did what the angel of the church was told to do here. All thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. He called the church to repentance. And here the warning is there. If therefore thou shalt not watch, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. God could take away his Spirit at any time. God speaks through Paul in Romans chapter 1 of those given over to a reprobate mind. In other places throughout Scripture, we are warned. Warned in many different ways. Warned if we just neglect along the way. Paul, writing to the church of the Hebrews, said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Here the warning is, come back. Come back to God. Come back to the truth. They had not continued in the truth, and God was here in mercy, calling them back. Remember how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. They must have heard the message of God, the message of Christ, the message of salvation, the message of themselves as sinners, lost sinners, saved through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.